Chapter 47. After a second, much less lengthy round of questions and answers, the senior counsel voted, and Molly was officially declared my apprentice, to be granted clemency under the Doom of Damocles. Doom of Damocles was wizard speak for probation. If Molly abused her magic or came anywhere near violating any of the laws of magic, she'd be executed at once, and I'd join her. But I'd lived with that before. I could do it again. It was full dark by the time the conclave ended and everyone filed out. As the wizard who had called the conclave, it was my job to make sure everyone departed safely and to take care of any last-minute details. Between providing food and further medical supplies for the unexpected arrivals and coordinating with Ramirez to make sure our comings and goings weren't being observed, I didn't get the chance to speak to anyone about personal matters. With Lily's help, we'd given the vampires a stiff kick in the balls, but the fight was far from over. The combat-hardened wizards and the talents of the senior council were needed elsewhere, and they departed with hardly a pause for food and drink. Once it was done, I left the warehouse and sank down against the wall, just letting the cool summer evening wash over me. I'd saved the girl from the bad guys, and more importantly, from the good guys, which seemed the sort of thing that should pay my warden's salary overtime, but for the moment I was simply glad it was over. I'd gambled horribly in my attempt to play the collective will of the council against the Merlin. I shouldn't have done it that way. The Merlin was a politician. If I'd been willing to eat a little crow, he probably would have come to some sort of compromise with me. A humiliating and disadvantageous compromise, from my perspective, but he might have worked something out. Instead, I'd gained the moral support of the council present there tonight, and I'd wielded it against him like a sword, chopping off his options and maneuvering him into bending to my will. I had exercised power over him in a way that no one had yet dared. I had struck a blow against his authority, declared myself an enemy of his administration. There was no way he could ignore that kind of challenge from a morally suspect young punk like me. He would have to bring me down. If I wanted to avoid that, I'd have to keep my eyes open, my wits sharp, and I'd have to continue to do whatever I could to secure myself against him. In short, I'd become a politician. But instead of moaning about it, I found myself laughing. Given all that had happened, matters could have been much, much worse. Molly was coming home safe. The murderous fetches had been dispatched. The vampires had been handed their first significant defeat since the Cold War combusted. After the events of the day, tomorrow surely held nothing for me to fear, and I trusted that it would take care of itself until I could rest, eat, and put an end to the last details of the business at hand. Molly and Michael had waited with me. When Michael covered Lucio's retreat through the nearer regions of the Never Never, he had gotten back to Chicago without paying for the gas. But his truck was still back in the middle of nowhere, Oregon. He'd need to have it shipped back, or else make a long drive with a partner. He needed to ride home, and I was it. The Beatles' floorboards settled almost all the way to the ground by the time everyone was on board, and I drove carefully away from the warehouse. Molly chattered on about a confusing blur of things for maybe 2 minutes, and then went abruptly silent. Michael checked over his shoulder. Asleep, he reported quietly.